baseball game is on tonight. It's not World Series.
So it's who's playing tonight?
I don't know.
Chicago and Green Bay.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a barn burner.
Okay, you're marching.
Hey, there's your motivation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I have no questions.
Not even one, maybe two?
Maybe. Yeah, sorry.
I'll believe that. Yeah, when I see it.
My inspector, Clouseau. Who's the Peter Falk kid?
Clouseau, Inspector Clouseau.
Beautiful. Okay. Colombo. Yeah. Peter Falk was Colombo.
I'm going to call to order our City Council meeting. It is Monday, November 4th, 2013. It's 6:30 p.m. And we are going to stand for a moment of silence. And then after that, the flag salute will be led by Mariah Peck. Mariah, do you want to come up here, and I'll read a little bit about you? I think your father and sister are here. There they are. You two feel free to come up anytime and take pictures. There's no rules about that. And Mariah is 11 years old. She's a sixth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. Mariah enjoys living close to the beach, her school, the nice teachers, the tasty food, and having friends that are always there for her. Someday she would like to work at Magic Mountain, but her long-term career choice would be to pursue being a veterinarian when she's older. Mariah's interests are math, school, spending time with her friends, art, and video games. And she's accompanied this evening by her principal, James Snyder, who's the new principal at Grover Beach Elementary School, and also her family. There you are. Hi, well, hold that over so you can get a photo. And then if you want to stand there, maybe the council can kind of scoot in and we'll do a photo op here. Great. And we're going to give you this, a little bit of help with your homework. And then if you want to just shake everybody's hand coming along here.
Mariah, good job. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Good job. I'll come to Magic Mountain when you're working there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Lady did a very nice job.
Could we have roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. Here. And I believe we have a couple of closed session announcements.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. At the last meeting, Council met in closed session on two items. First one being potential litigation, one case. The other one, instructions for property negotiators on terms of potential lease with Pacifica Companies. City Council reconvened to open session, and there were no reportable actions taken during the closed session.
Thank you. And we'll go to the agenda review now, and this is the time when we review the order of business to be conducted and we receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. And then, of course, by motion, we will adopt the agenda as presented or revised. Would anyone like to make any changes?
Nope.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And ceremonial calendar, we have none at this time. And we're coming up now for public communications. And this is the time in the meeting where the public may address the council on anything that is not on the agenda. So you have 3 minutes. And if there's anyone who would like to come forward, we would be happy to hear from you. We will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot act on items not on the agenda. So I'm going to open public comment. I see Mr. Eckbaum.
Thank you, Mayor, Council Members. Dave Eckbaum, I live in Grover Beach. I'd like to talk to you tonight for a few minutes and urge you to conduct some kind of a study or report on the fire department, fire district, fire assessment, whatever you want, fire authority, whatever you want to call it. I think that it's in your best interest to evaluate
which were the latest information that we had that was adopted. And the fire department had gone up at that time 250% when the city as a whole had gone up 50%. So there was a dramatic increase in the fire department at that time. I think from 2008 on forward here, you're going to see at least that same escalating rate of increase compared to the rest of the city. And so we have to use some business sense to see, are we getting our money's worth? Is there a better place to put our money than all in a fire department? And I want to make sure that everybody understands this has nothing to do with the fire department employees or the fire chief. It's the ability of pay and the structure of the department. We're not criticizing any employees. I'm sure that our guys are as good as any they're going to find. So it has nothing to do with that. But I think that going forward, if we're going to have a fire assessment district where it comes up with a new funding source, the public deserves a right to see what we're paying for. Is it truly something that we should support? We know that it's going up dramatically. We know that there's no ongoing capital cost recovery system going on. We understand that you're spending a lot of money there. I want to know if it's worth it. And I understand that you have some national statistics that you're trying to meet, set up by some fire department officials in the federal government or somewhere, that maybe is a pipe dream. I think we'd have to have a little reality, ability to pay concept for Grover. We always have before. And even trying to compare it with a neighboring city like Pismo Beach, who has $1 million a month bed tax compared to us, we can't keep on pace with them as far as providing services. We have to recognize that. We have to spread our money around efficiently. And that's your job. And I think you need the ability to see if this is the best way to do it. And the only way you're going to get that is through some kind of evaluation or study or report. The mayor has assured me that Bob has talked to her and you've gotten some information. I've never heard about it. I don't know if all of you had. If it's something available, it's a report, I would like to see it. We'd like to be able to evaluate that ourselves. The public should deserve the right to, before they vote on something like this, have some actual dollar amounts to say, well, okay, it's gone from $600,000 to $2 million. Does all the money that now is being spent on the fire department stay in the city, and then the citizens are billed for an entirely new fund for the fire department? So it's just like it's going to be a huge hit to the public, and if you don't do it by parcel tax, then you're going to hit businesses harder again. And if you look up and down the streets, there's a lot of empty stuff around here.
Thank you.
So anyway, study it, please. Get some information and pass it out. We'd like it, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I should have introduced you as a former mayor, Dave. Thanks, Dave Eckbaum. Is there anyone else who'd like to come forward? Feel free.
Mayor Peterson, before he speaks, may I?
Well, let's address it after everyone's done, because there may be. Or did you have a question? Or?
I have a question to Mr. Eckbaum.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Dave, do you still have any of the figures that you came up with, and you say you did a study that covered several years? Do you still have that information?
I'll bet I do somewhere. I pass it out to all the council people at that time. The city has it somewhere, unless they file it. But
if you
I
do
think
have...
I do. And that's purely budget numbers from the budgets. Gail and I spent hours down here.
If you still have that, would you be willing to share that with
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. That's why I did it.
Okay, if you can locate it, would you give me a call and I'll make arrangements to pick it up?
Yes.
I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. So, I'm sorry about that. Come on forward. And we need your name and city of residence.
I'm Simone Lowry, and I live in Rio Grande, right on the line on Newport on the AG side. But I just wanted to introduce myself. We are my wife and I own the Studio of Performing Arts, a dance and performing arts studio that has been located in the village for 20 years, and we just recently have applied for an administrative use permit to operate a dance studio and retail space right across the way. I guess I wanted to just introduce myself to the mayor and the council members, and also I guess say that your staff has been helpful. Mr. Buckingham, I've had some discussion with him, and he's been helpful through the administrative use process. We have a hearing coming up next week. So there's some zoning changes that took place that we learned about that have over the past year that have made things a little bit more interesting. But we're...
Yeah. Fabulous.
So, and the... Oh, sorry.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I was just wondering where
yeah,
it was
went. Right, literally, yeah. Right.
Yeah, excellent. Very nice. Yeah, well, welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for filling a vacant building.
Yeah. Is there anyone else who wanted to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. And I think it may be helpful. I don't know if staff had any comments. I know that the council has not made any kind of formal action. We've taken no formal action as far as the going out to the public with the fire department request.
Madam Mayor, first of all, the authority has made a decision to move ahead, and they are. A part of the answers to Mr. Ekbaum's questions were contained in the last staff report that was submitted, and I would suggest that he get a copy of that and read through it. It talks about the efficiencies that have been achieved by the authority since it was put in place. Relative to costs, at least, it indicates that the costs for the last 3 years have been relatively consistent. And it also indicated where the authority was looking for, what the authority was looking for in terms of needing further adjustment in terms of, you know, a capital replacement fund, payment for dispatch services, and bringing the staff or maintaining the staffing level via the grant they received to be able to provide two-in and two-out response. Beyond that, I have discussed with the fire chief the need, as I know that both Mr. Nichols and yourself have, the need to get additional information out as quickly as possible, and I'm sure they're working on that.
Thank you. Thanks very much. So if anybody wants to see the report, the staff report from the last meeting where this was presented, it's grover.org, and I believe that's under council meetings, city council? Okay, thanks. So we're moving now to our first public hearing, which is the introduction and first reading of the ordinance amending the building code regulations. And I'll just explain to those.
2013 California Building Standards Codes, which become effective statewide January 1st, 2014. A brief summary of the code changes were provided with a staff report. It's a lengthy list. To me, the most noteworthy change is to the energy code, which will reduce energy use by 30% for commercial industrial buildings, 25% for single-family residences, and 14% for multifamily residences. And just if you don't know, the energy code continues to be more stringent to reduce energy use. This is another big hit. It's very hard or difficult to put what the cost will be, but I can assure you that every city in the state will be implementing this and have those same costs passed on to the development community. So the city adopts this California Building Standards Code by reference by amending our municipal code every 3 years. The 2013 building code includes, and I will read for you, the 13 following codes: administrative, building, residential building, electrical, mechanical, plumbing, energy, historical building, fire, existing building, green building standards, and reference standards. Those are all, those all comprise this California building code that we're adopting. In addition to that, staff is recommending that we adopt the 2012 International Property Maintenance Code to replace the currently adopted 2009 code. It's not part of the mandatory building code update, but it is a beneficial tool for addressing code enforcement issues, especially related to building and fire-related issues. The state does allow us to make amendments to the building code if local geographic, topographical, or climate conditions warrant changes. There are three proposed local amendments to the fire code as part of this adoption. Two of those amendments are the same as you adopted 3 years ago regarding fire sprinkler requirements
and designating fire lanes for driveways greater than 40 feet in distance. The Third Amendment is a prohibition on the use of sky lanterns, except in limited instances approved by the fire chief, and that's in response to fire and safety hazards associated with their use. And just because I know you want to know what a sky lantern is, I'm going to read you the definition. It is an airborne lantern typically made of paper with a wood frame containing a candle, fuel cell composed of flammable material or other open flame, which serves as a heat source to heat the inside of the lantern to cause it to lift into the air. Written by some nice fire code guy somewhere, I'm sure. So we would be adopting that as well. I know Arroyo Grande adopted the same as well. In conclusion, staff's recommending the council introduce the ordinance to repeal the 2010 California Building Code and the 2009 Property Maintenance Code and replace them with the 2013 California Building Code with the three amendments as mentioned and the 2012 Property Maintenance Code. That concludes my report.
Thank you, and I'm very glad that you brought up the fire lanterns, because last night my 17-year-old son came in and said, "Hey, Mom, look what I've got," and it was a lit fire lantern. I said, "No, I don't think so, honey." So thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been seeing one. When I was reading this, I'm thinking, what on earth is a fire lantern?
Well, he said everybody's doing it.
Apparently so.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason for that.
Lots of Disney movies.
Lots of Disney movies.
If you've seen, forget one of the ones. It is the one where one of the kids is taken away from the family, and they light off 1,000 of these things. If you watch a Disney movie, and that's what some ceremonies do. They will send them off as a wealth and prosperity encouragement for the families
until the place burns down, and that's not very wealthy.
Or
encouraging.
Okay, exactly. So. Thank you. Any questions of staff? Mr. Nichols.
Yeah, Bruce, second to last paragraph on page 2, you make reference there in parentheses to U occupancies, which I'm not familiar with that phrase at all. Very first line on that paragraph.
It's the utility occupancy, and that applies to detached garages would be the best example that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. That was new to me, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions of staff?
Yeah. I do.
Yep.
You said you wouldn't.
Sorry. I lied. I apologize. Bruce, one question for you. This is effective January 1st, 2014, correct?
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. Two more questions. There was a... in page 5, section 8109.1, fire code official, talks about the Five Cities Fire Authority needing to approve this as well. Do we know the timing for their approval? Have they already undertaken that?
Well, they don't need to adopt this. We adopt it, and then they, in essence, enforce it. So on page 5...
I must have read that incorrectly then. So we opted... Okay, I apologize. Nope. Obviously they've agreed to adhere to these amendments as well. Obviously,
correct.
They brought them forward.
The recommendations or the amendments come at their recommendation.
Okay, great. And the last one is the sky lantern. Is that more stringent or less stringent than the county one that they adopted about 6 or 7 months ago? Any idea?
I don't know. I know that. Chief Hubert worked with Arroyo Grande, and I believe ours is very similar, if not exact, to theirs. And that goes, again, with the Five Cities Fire Authority and trying to have consistency among their jurisdictions as far as adopted ordinance or amendments like this.
Okay. Great.
Any other questions?
None.
Okay. I'm going to open it to public comment. Is there anyone who wanted to come forward and comment on this one? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council for discussion and or a motion.
And actually, I'll go ahead and make a motion, but I do have one question first. Attachment 2, electrical code change number 1, so the curiosity question. When branch circuit is modified, it shall be protected by AFCI. I have not seen that in electrical before. Anybody know what AFCI stands for?
I know what GFCI is.
That's what I was going to say. I know what GFCI is. Yeah, the ground force, but I don't know.
Circuit.
Circuit, interrupter. So, but I don't know what A stands for.
I don't know the answer to that, but I can get you an answer.
It was more curiosity.
Oh, we have an electrician in the audience. I'm going to open it to public comment. You want to come forward and tell us what that is?
It's an arc fault circuit interrupter, and they're required. Okay. They've been required in hotels for decades. And what basically it does, when it detects an arc, it trips the breaker.
You said arc?
Arc.
A-R-C.
Arc.
Give us your name and city of residence.
Sorry, Robert, Grover Beach.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for being here.
Yes. Yeah,
well, and they've been required, I'd say, for about 6 or 8 years in bedrooms. And now they're requiring them, I won't tell you the reason why, but... And they're requiring them more and more. Eventually, we'll have everything arc faulted.
So, is that something we see, or is it behind the wall?
It's in the breaker. It's similar to a GFI breaker.
Okay.
Very similar with a button on it.
Oh.
Yeah. So you don't see it. No.
Okay.
That's not visible.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
There you have it.
Yeah. That was good. Close it to public comment now and bring it back to the council. Do you have any more questions, Councilmember Lee?
I don't.
Anyone else have any other questions? All righty.
It was enlightening, though.
Yes, it was.
Then I'll go ahead and make a motion that we... What are we doing here? Introduce the ordinance to the first reading to delete Article 6, Public Safety, Chapter 1, California Fire Code, and repeal and replace Article 8, Public Regulations, Chapter 1, Building Code, to adopt to the 2013 California Building Codes and the 2012 International Property Maintenance Code by title only, and schedule the second reading and adoption at the next regular City Council meeting.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Lee and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright, and this is a roll call vote.
Yes.
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 Yes, so that was unanimous. We're moving now to our consent agenda, and these are routine items.
Mayor, before you move forward, I apologize for interruption. Just to clear the record, there are some other notification and rules applicable to adoption of these building codes. So the staff will understand the motion to implicitly direct us to follow those. And we'll republish and renotice and bring the code back.
Okay. You two good with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. All righty. So the consent agenda is routine items that are scheduled for consideration as a group. The recommendations are noted in parentheses. Members of the audience may speak on any items listed on the consent agenda, and any council member, city attorney, or city manager may request that an item be withdrawn to allow for full discussion. Items that are withdrawn will be placed and heard at the end of the items previously scheduled on the regular business schedule. Is there, does anybody want to pull anything on the consent agenda?
Nope. And so comments.
Okay, so brief comments, Councilmember Lee?
On item number two, or was it number two? I think it's item number, actually three. Is looks like on the dais we've got a minor correction to the minutes.
Yes.
So we'll go ahead and make sure those got incorporated. And then just wanted to say thank you to Echo Rotary for the work that they do on behalf of the waste charges and the recycling facilities that you've done during events. So.
Yes.
And thank you for showing up for an item that's related to what you're doing. It's really nice to have folks come for the items. Any other comments?
I'll make a motion that we...
Well, wait, before you do that, let me open it to public comment.
Oh.
Does anybody want to come forward and comment on this? No? Okay. No, we'll talk about that another time. Okay, seeing none at this point, Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes, I'll make a motion that we accept and approve the consent agenda as listed with the... with the amendment to item three as supplied to us.
I'll second.
So we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Bright and a second by Council Member Marshall. And we'll go for a roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So it's unanimous. Moving then to regular business, and we have our first quarter report and revisions to the fiscal year 14 budget. City Manager Peralt and Administrative Services Director Chapman will be doing this one.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'll go ahead and introduce the item and then explain how I would suggest we sequentially handle the item. First of all, this is our first quarter report. The staff is responsible for reporting to back to the council on a periodic basis as to what kind of fiscal progress we've made during the year. And in this first year, this first quarter takes a look at obviously the revenues and expenditures through the end of September 30th. That's our first quarter. And it also, in light of that, we'll be seeking some minor revisions. During this first quarter of the year, we've had the opportunity to see where expenditures are going and better able to make some projections as to what we think we need to, from this point on, as far as the budget is concerned. The budget revisions, I'll explain, are relatively minor. Perhaps the most significant are those in the personnel area, and those are a result of the completion of our meet and confer process, and so consequently reductions in those areas are now available that we didn't know at the time the budget was actually adopted. If you recall, we actually adopted the budget in June with a slight deficit, and that deficit is at this point been eliminated. But what I'm going to do is ask Gayla to give you the financial overview, answer any questions that you might have regarding that, and then we'll move on to the status reports. First quarter report also offers us an opportunity to review both the status of our work program as well as our capital improvement program, and those have been both attached for your review. But at this point, I'll ask Gayla to cover the fiscal end, and then we'll take questions regarding the budget per se, and then move on to a discussion regarding the work program and the CIP.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, tonight's financial review is intended to give you an early view of how current revenues and expenditures compare to the fiscal year 14 adopted budget. The first quarter is the most difficult time frame to project, as our largest revenue source, property taxes, are not delivered until December. Other revenues, sales tax, for example, are delayed in receipt by 2 months or longer. Revenues are anticipated to be higher than what was projected in the adopted budget by approximately $89,000. The major changes in anticipated revenues are property taxes current secured, up approximately $101,000, property taxes street lighting, an increase of $40,000, franchise fees, a decrease of $24,000, sales tax, a decrease of $55,000, the sales tax add-on, an increase of $24,000, for a total to the major changes of $86,000 increase. Most expenditures are proceeding normally. Staff is requesting some budget changes. Budgetary changes included in the resolution attached to the staff report are: for marketing and meetings, an increase of $1,200 for the city clerk's conference; office furniture and equipment, an increase of $5,000 to be used in the city management office; debt service principal and interest of $13,100 for the loan from the California Energy Commission for the Energy Efficiency Retrofit Program. The loan was made in two installments. Only the December installment was included in the original budget. Last year was our first payment on this, and the June payment was inadvertently left out of the budget document. Advertising and notices, an increase of $5,000 in human resources due to increased recruitments. Medical, increased employee screening costs of $13,500 for personnel matters, and subscriptions, an increase of $1,200 for the new building code. The water fund deficit has been eliminated, and cash reserves are anticipated to increase by $127,577 during the fiscal year. Due to the receipt of the CDBG grant for the waterline upgrades, the capital improvement plan budgeted funds are now available for other projects. In January, staff will again conduct an in-house rate review to determine if a water increase will be necessary. Wastewater fund revenues and expenditures have been proceeding as anticipated, with the exception of the stormwater management program. Staff is requesting an increase of $30,000 to implement the program. Due to the increased cost, a review will be conducted in January as part of the water rate review to determine how much of an increase will be necessary to cover current and future anticipated costs associated with the stormwater management program. Staff is requesting that the City Council approve the budget resolution attached to the staff report to amend the fiscal year 14 approved budget. And do you have any questions?
Any questions of staff?
No.
Councilmember Nichols?
On the stormwater increase, $30,000, isn't that a mandate that we're trying to satisfy?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I think that's all I have right at the moment.
I had a question about that stormwater one, too, because expenditures are exceeding by $43,757, and I guess they've been adjusted, but then we're talking about a $30,000 required to assist. So those two numbers don't add up. So maybe it's just the presentation I'm not understanding.
Which page are you referring to?
I'm on page 2 under wastewater fund. And it explains that the wastewater fund and the stormwater fund were combined.
We have some capital projects that are also included in what you're looking at on the wastewater fund summary. So we're utilizing, and that's wastewater and stormwater that are included in this fund. It's not just the stormwater.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions now?
Let me tack on to your question relating to the stormwater and the wastewater. I thought we combined those forms.
They are combined.
Well, they're still shown separately.
If you look at the forms farther back in the document, you'll notice that fiscal year 13 and 14 have zero numbers for stormwater until it completely rolls off the page. So for two more years, the stormwater fund will show in the document because of prior year's history.
Okay, thank you very much.
So then, may I clarify something? So stormwater, that's something that has been mandated by the state.
Correct.
So, and the reason that we combined them is because there's no income for stormwater.
We do have stormwater income now, but there is a nexus to where you could put the two in the same fund, and that's what we decided to do.
But I mean, originally...
Originally, we had no funding source, correct.
But we had mandates from the state that we had to do all whatever. We had
yes.
Things we had to do when there was no income to do these things.
Correct.
So we just had this fund that had a big deficit.
Correct.
Okay. I was just trying to make sure that we all understood where we were. Okay.
Madam Mayor, if I could, too, one of the reasons that we combined the funds is that the permitting process is somewhat similar. Both the sewer system as well as the storm system both require NPDES permits. And so that's why another reason that we decided to combine the funds. You also adopted a storm water fee that is charged on the monthly bill. And that was approved last year, so we'd have some funding to offset those costs. Unfortunately, it's an area where costs are continuing to go up as we continue to make progress in implementing the mandated program.
So that was the fee that was around $4 to $5 for 2 months?
Yes. Yes.
So it's a couple of dollars a month per household?
About $225 per month per household.
Okay. Yes.
I have one more question. Under the enterprise funds, we do have a section that shows the franchise revenue, $24,000.
Which page are you on?
I've been looking for it. I can't find it. I think it was under the citywide budget.
For the franchise fees for revenues?
But it just shows franchise fee as revenue. And I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the franchise that we have been discussing recently. Phillips 66, specifically.
No, it does not.
That fee is...
It's very small.
$400 a year or something like that.
So it's not shown separately. Is it part of that $24,000 that I see?
I know where the item is. Are they all franchise fees? All the revenues from franchise fees are on one line?
All the revenues from franchise fees are in
one line. So the $400 would be in there probably?
It would be included, but that's not the reason for the decrease, no.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I guess that begs the question is, what is the reason for the decrease?
I would have to go back and look to see exactly which line item, because it's been about a month since I wrote the original report. So I would have to go and look and see which line item exactly is causing the decrease, but there is one of them that was causing a decrease. And we received several.
Did you have something on that?
It could be charter.
I'm thinking it's charter, but I didn't want to say without being positive.
Went into the statewide format, and there have been some delays in payment. They're still going to be paying a 5%, I think it is, but there might have been delay in the transaction.
And over the last few years, charter fees, in general, the PEG access decreased before it was taken away from us, and also... the fees we've received from charters for the charter for the franchise has decreased in the past few years. Just there's not as many people on charter. There's other options out there now.
And then before you get off of that, I was on page 35 of the citywide revenue transfer history. Page 35. It is the third item down. It shows property taxes, sales taxes, and then franchise fees.
Yes.
And that shows the decrease.
Yeah, the decrease that you're seeing there isn't as great, because the decrease that I'm discussing is against the original budget for 2014.
Okay.
So if you compare it to what was originally projected for 2014, it's going to be a higher decrease than what is shown here.
Okay, good. Thank you. Sorry.
Madam Mayor, if I could,
yes.
If you take a look at the general fund detail, it shows that actually our franchise fees totally are considerably higher, but collectively they're at about $439,000, mm-hmm. if you take a look at that. And you'd have to go back to the page 9 of the general fund, which is the general fund revenue detail, and it'll show you that line item. I think what Gayla was speaking about was that in this particular year we're expecting a $24,000 reduction. That's not all of the franchise fees we receive. That's just the reduction we're anticipating to the general fund because of what's happened with charter.
Thank you.
Okay. Which, and obviously this is a first quarter estimate, so you're not anticipating that revenue is going to be made up through the course of the rest of the year?
Looking at trends of previous years, no.
Crystal ball type of...
Yeah, it is a crystal ball at this point.
Okay.
An educated guess, though.
Yes. And same thing with the sales tax, is just kind of what we've seen from previous first quarters. You're estimating the reduction in $55,000. Is that over the course of the entire year?
Yes. Also... the solar plant on the Carrizo Plains brought some sales tax, general sales tax, to the county, and we have seen a blip in our prior year's sales tax for the county distribution of tax that we are not going to be seeing in the future, and I'm attributing it to that project is complete, so that's now dropped off those purchases. So we should be getting back to a more stable look at the sales tax in the future.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
No.
Okay. I'm going to open this to public comment. Is there anyone from the public who'd like to come forward on this item? Right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council for further discussion or a motion.
Doing this one individually?
I might have a question. I thought you were going to talk about the work plan.
Before we actually request that action on the item, we should talk about the work program and the CIP. It also, as I've indicated, the first quarter, the completion of the first quarter also offers an opportunity to look at what kind of progress we're making with the various work program timeframes that for completion that we had identified. And it's important to remember the work program works a lot like the budget. As you get into it, progress can be made sooner than you anticipated, and then at other times it can be impeded for a number of reasons. This year, just wanted to point out a couple of factors. We are continuing to move forward with the lodge. We anticipate that project, the coastal development permit, will be brought to you before the end of the year, and we'll be working on the financing agreement. I also wanted to point out that broadband, although we had anticipated that those discussions would be completed by now, they're actually very close to completion. We're in the process of doing final agreement negotiations with Digital West, and we'll be bringing that back to the council very shortly. The rest of the dates that are listed here have been impacted either by the progress that we've made or, quite honestly, the workload that staff is currently dealing with. And that's where you see the changes in terms of the completion dates. As far as the capital improvement program is concerned, what we've done there is gone back and updated the status of each individual project. Again, these projects are in motion, and so things do change from the original approval. And so what we've done is updated the status descriptions for each of the projects within the CIP. Rather than trying to answer taking these one at a time, I thought that the best way to proceed from this point on is just to respond to particular questions that you might have.
Thank you, and thank you, Councilmember Marshall, for reminding us about that. Anybody have any questions?
Got just a couple, Bob. Mm-hmm. On attachment 3, page 2 of 4, item number 2, streets, utilities, and infrastructures.
Right.
The first bullet, the third arrow bullet. You've got explore alternative methods for improving city streets.
Right.
83113.
83113. That should have, if I'm looking at that, it's streets, utilities, and infrastructure, third arrow down.
Correct.
It was originally 83113. Now we're expecting to do that. It should actually, I see what you're saying, it should reflect the same as the one immediately above it.
Oh, okay.
15.
1215?
Right.
So we're going to come back next month and talk about that?
Yes.
That's the goal?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, what we want to do, staff wants to recommend that we conduct another workshop very similar to the type of workshop that you just completed with water, only dealing with the streets issue. And we want to cover both the short-term strategy, updating some thoughts that the Public Works Director has on how we might want to approach that differently. And then, of course, what is probably even more important is talking about the long-term fix, which is going to have to involve the development of some kind of voter-approved financing mechanism.
Okay. And then the same page. So we'll change that to
1215.
Same page, the 1, 2, 3, 4th bullet. First arrow is continue to maintain the water system. There's two dates where it says update the stormwater ordinance. I suspect there might be a reason for that, but I didn't. There's 12/15/13.
Yes, actually that will be done, and I'm sorry I didn't include that in the narrative. We're going to break that into two parts.
Okay.
There are multiple ordinances that are going to have to be adopted to update the stormwater program. So what we're anticipating is bringing those to you at two separate occasions within the coming months. And so that's why those dates are reflected that way.
Thank you. Those were the only comments I had.
Councilmember Lee?
Just a couple questions on that same page, but obviously we're going to go under, we're going to go up above streets, utilities, and infrastructure. Second bullet under 1B, first arrow, 12, 15, 14. Is that anticipated to be 12, 15, 13?
Should be. Okay. Correct. The mayor had actually brought that to my attention, okay. And I should have corrected it.
Okay. Thank you. Then my only other questions happen to be on the capital improvement program itself, so I don't know if you want to do that now or if we want to do that as...
I don't think that's in this agenda, this particular item.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You can also review the CIP if you want to.
Yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'd had a just kind of going through all of the... the first one is Parks Community Services CIP 266.
Yes, CIP page 6.
Yes, CIP page 6. Says construction scheduled to start in December of 2013 with project completion in early 2014. Just was wondering if that was on schedule being pushed or if the, because if we're scheduled to go under start construction, we'll probably be seeing that the bid package come forward?
It should be very soon. We're in the last phases of actually completing the bid package for that.
So it's forthcoming, might shift a month or two. But
right.
Okay. That's probably going to be the bulk of where my questions are, is just how we're shifting from those. So next question on, it's going to be CIP page 8, which is the CIP 270 West Grand Avenue enhancements, preliminary design completed in fiscal year 2013. Just wanted to ask our city engineer, I know we approved it previously, are we moving forward with design and moving, are we on schedule for the...
And that project, just so everyone knows, is West Grand Avenue Phase 3.
Sorry. The project West Grand Phase 3, you did see the preliminary design. We're moving forward currently with the request for proposals. We have a contract administrator on board for the grant administration process, and we're on schedule with the CTC right now. It's likely we're going to be a couple months behind the original anticipated schedule, but I think looking at the long-range schedule for the project, we're liable to catch back up on that a little bit. So, you know, it's varying by a few months here and there, but not entirely off schedule.
Okay. Great.
You said CTC. What is a CTC?
Oh, I'm sorry. California Transportation Commission.
Okay.
Is the agency that reviews our grant applications and the plans ultimately as we move forward toward construction.
Thank you.
Okay. I wouldn't go too far.
Stay there.
Sorry about that. So my next question is on CIP page 10. It's the CIP 276 Oak Park Boulevard Rehabilitation. Just wanted to get a quick update from you on that because it looked like we're hoping to have payment evaluation and design completed fiscal year 13.
So we had some preliminary pavement evaluation work done to try to get a sense of the extents of the damage and aging on the pavements up in Oak Park. That report I have in hand, okay. And now we're basically looking at moving forward with more formal designs stage as money becomes available and hopefully some funding. One of our grant applications to the COG included the Oak Park project, hopefully for federal funding. So.
Okay. Let's see what else I had. Bear with me just one second. So on, I think the next one is just more of a logistical question, which I think it's CIP 283, which is page 11. It's the local street rehabilitation program. And I think we're going to end up discussing that at a workshop if we move forward on that. So I'll just kind of hold anything on there at that point. Let's see what else I had. Oh, CIP 263, which is CIP page 13, the City Hall improvements. Just was wondering where we stood on those.
We have completed design plans and specifications in-house. I have not had a chance to review them. To be honest with you, the stormwater ordinance requirements, meeting the deadlines under that permit, have kind of displaced that project for the time being. But hopefully within the next few weeks here, we should be back on track in terms of my final review of those plans and specs and getting that out to bid. So.
Okay. And a quick logistical question there is, if it goes after January 1st, those plans, does that mean we have to go under the new ADA code for, which I know there are some, I don't know how significant they are, but they are going to be changes to the ADA portion, American with Disabilities, basically the handicap standards, and so how will that impact that?
Interesting question. If we initiate construction prior to the requirement to enforce the new ADA standards, I think we'll be fine. But if we don't initiate construction prior to that, I believe we'd have to include any changes that are implemented in that new code.
Okay, so there might be some changes as a result of that. And again, I don't know how extensive they are, but I've heard some people have kind of led me to believe that the standards might actually be slightly less stringent, but I don't know if that's true throughout the entire update.
Yeah, I've been following that process a little bit, and there's been a lot of input, which is good news, a lot of input from agency, public works directors, and the APWA in terms of how to actually implement ADA requirements in public-owned spaces and buildings. And I think, yeah, you're seeing a little more logic applied to it. So I think some of the standards have actually maybe not decreased, but have become a little more applicable, easier to apply.
Okay. Oh, and actually this one's CIP 312, which is on page 15. It's the transit station expansion project. And my question there is, we're looking for a design to move forward, and I know we've got some SLOCOG funding for that. Any concern on their part that the project needs to move forward quicker? Is we're okay on the funding? Everything amenable There's, towards them?
There are some funding complexities. We have a $1 million Prop 1B grant. Although not a requirement of the grant, certainly the COG would like us to move up the design and construction process in order to expend that funding sooner. What's happened in the meantime, however, is that the project has been determined to be eligible for CMAQ funding. That is
okay.
Error.
I'm going to stop you because we've had COG, which is Council of Governments, SLOCOG, which is San Luis Obispo Council of Governments.
Same. One and the
and
same.
Who's this?
Yeah, CMAQ.
Who's CMAQ?
Wow.
California.
Air quality.
It's an air quality mitigation funding source. And as a result, actually, of air quality issues in the east part of the county, I believe, the funding has become available. And because the transit station would potentially result in displacement of vehicle trips, it's eligible. So now we're talking about modification of the original funding source and possibly making the Prop 1B funds available to a different project in this region, bringing the CMAQ funding in, but hopefully for the full amount, which is actually $2 million. We need $2 million to construct the project. So the project has been waiting for that additional $1 million. This is potentially the way we're going to get that, and we could move forward with construction.
Thank you. Maybe I can explain a little more about this because it's come up at the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments and also at the Air Pollution Control District. Because we're out of attainment on the East End because air pollution drifts over from the valley, at which we have no control over. We can't control the wind and the drift. But because of that, we have been allocated additional funds, grant funds that can be distributed. I didn't know that they'll be distributed to us, so that's really good news.
Well, potentially.
Do you know when?
We certainly have the application in, and that involves going back toward the technical committee for selection and prioritization, and ultimately to the board for approval. And if selected, yes, we could receive additional funding.
Do you know? Do you have any idea when that might? How long that's going to take?
We're a month or so out.
Mm-hmm. I think. December.
Is that all?
Yeah, December.
So this is the one where they would like us to move more quickly, so that we can make use of the funds.
Yes. So the original idea was that we would apply for 2014 CMAQ funding, And we're recommending against that. We're recommending moving to 2015. We don't think we can meet the federal environmental NEPA guidelines. There's another acronym, sorry.
NEPA?
The federal environmental requirements for processing a environmental permit. So.
An EIR?
No,
a permit is different.
Probably okay. A mitigated negative declaration or whatever the federal version of that is.
It's an EES?
EIS.
Fonzie. I'm just an engineer. You're getting out of my league there.
Wow.
Well, that's potentially really good news.
Mm-hmm. Potentially.
Okay. And SLOCOG, so Council of Governments is basically okay with changing the scope and continuing the money funding towards that
it
goal?
It was their recommendation.
Their recommendation. Okay, great. Okay. Then just one more update for you. CIP 267, CIP 8, page 18.
And CIP means Capital Improvement Program.
Right, sorry.
I don't know if we said that before. Okay.
It's the upgrade of the 2-inch and the 4-inch water mains. And I know we've gotten CDBG, Community Development Block Grant, government funds, public infrastructure funds. And is there a time frame for when we need to start expending funds on that element?
Yes, and I'm not 100% in tune with that time frame yet. I know that Bruce and the Community Development Department, your Community Development Director, and the Community Development Department have been working with the folks at CDBG to implement that program, to lay out the scheduling and deadlines. And I know it's not real soon, but it's coming up hopefully within about 6 months. About the right time frame.
Madam Mayor,
yes.
Just so you know, we've yet to receive the contract. We've been notified of the award. We've yet to receive the contract documents. And once we have received the contract documents, we'll have a better idea of what the requirements are in terms of the utilization of those funds and how quickly we are going to have to move. We are beginning to think about that, though, in terms of perhaps using the engineering funds that are permitted here to hire an engineer that would actually do the design of this particular project and manage it, since we have those funds from an independent source. So we are thinking about how to get this one out quick. Quick being an operational word. When we do get the contract documents in from the state,
great,
they could come
you.
At any time.
Okay. Or not.
Or not.
Any other questions?
And that was all my questions. Thank you very much. I'll have a comment in,
okay.
in a moment.
Great. Thank you.
Remain for anyone
Shall he remain
questions?
Or no?
No.
Oh, wait, yes, perhaps.
Not for me.
Yes, remain, please.
Mr. Lee was very thorough. I just have regarding Oak Park, the CIP 276 on page CIP 10. So the majority of that project, though, is unfunded at this point in time.
That's correct.
So if we don't get grant funds, we're pretty much just.
If we don't get grant funds, you know, that's going to be part of the strategy that we would discuss with council and the community in talking
okay.
about short and long
okay.
range goals for street paving.
Great.
You know, there's always ways of stepping into a project one piece at a time, and those aren't the only grant opportunities out there. So, you know, we're going to remain optimistic. But if for some reason we don't get the grant funding, then we're going to try to figure out how to get that thing fixed.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's probably, for me anyway, for you at this point. Or maybe Gayla.
Thank you.
Thank you. Somewhere in this report, there's just huge. I had read that staff intended to come back in December to discuss a workshop regarding long
yes.
and short term.
Right.
Where is that?
That actually was in my narrative.
Your narrative.
Yeah, if you look in the very first part of my staff report, it says And that's part of what we wanted to talk with you about in terms of this evening is identifying that, at least from staff's perspective, we would like to come back in December with early December, we thought, before we get all caught in the holidays with this workshop, because it is important and it is going to deserve a lot of attention. So, and we certainly don't want to wait, in my mind, any longer than that.
Okay. I see it here. Now it's at the bottom of page 2. Okay. I knew I'd read it somewhere, but I just couldn't. I'm looking everywhere but there. Okay. I think that's I have some comments, but that's good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have no questions.
Okay. So I did have one question on, so that our first council meeting in December, I believe, is December 2nd.
Right.
Were you thinking of doing this separate from a council meeting as a
yes.
workshop?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, probably just to give you an idea of when to think about it would be that second week in December.
The 9th?
The week of the 9th, possibly.
All right. And I wanted to ask if we could issue a press release on that, because it's such an important topic, and if we really want the public to participate, we
sure.
I think we need to do a little extra push on that. So I'm going to open this to public comment. Anybody like to come forward and comment on the budget or the work plan? All righty, seeing none, bring it back to the council. And I know that Councilmember Lee had some comments.
My comments, thank you to staff for putting this all together, and thank you, Public Works Director, for allowing me to badger you for a moment. And I think the reason I did that was to show how much work we actually have for our public works and for our streets and all of that. And so I'm going to be very interested in the December workshop, or I would actually almost say let's hold it in January after the holidays. Almost, I might offer that, realizing it is such an important issue. Maybe we want to, but I'll open that for further discussion.
Let me ask
later.
You about so. That. Is that because you think the public will be able to come in January and perhaps not in December?
It was kind of my initial thought.
As opposed to staff issues, it's more the
public.
Yeah,
if we build it for 6 weeks, mm-hmm. so we might have more involvement.
So. And I saw Council Member Marshall nodding.
I thought that was a great idea. First part of the year after the holidays,
so people get that recovery from the mm-hmm. from the holidays, middle of January.
Okay.
That gives staff a little more time to put together a workshop with some options and so forth, and to whether it be, like our city manager said, possible staffing alternatives to be able to utilize the funds that we have committed by other agencies in order to get a lot of this work done, because obviously the operations and the maintenance is a lot of work for our staff.
So let me ask City Manager, I know you obviously were thinking you would be ready by the beginning of December. If we waited until January, would that impact the rollout of other items that we're working on?
You know, I don't think so necessarily. The one thing that you do need to think about is that if you're going to look at putting an item on the ballot relative to the financing of streets, you know, the opportunity to do that after the first of the year begins to narrow fairly quickly, and you just need to be aware of that. What am I saying? Is that you'll have the public information out in January, but you're going to have to think about whether or not, if you decide that you want to take a look at a funding mechanism, have to consider whether or not you're going to do any public interest surveys, and you have to allow time for that. And then, you know, it'll be June before you know it, and time to make a final decision as to whether you put an item like that on the ballot. So all I'm saying is the more upfront time you have to begin talking and thinking with the public about it, the better we are.
And you had anticipated we might have multiple meetings around that item?
We could, but what you're going to want to do is the initial threshold item is probably the most important, because what you're going to want to do is receive both the short-term and the long-term options. The options are, for the long-term, are, pretty limited in terms of either financing and getting something done or not getting anything done, and what the results will be. So the sooner you can have that very serious discussion with the public, and certainly it's the other caveat to it, and I know this isn't going to make it any easier, but the other caveat to that is you want to make sure you get as much public participation as you possibly can.
So maybe that begs a question. If we, let's say we keep the December workshop date, it sounds like we would have, depending upon what got crafted from there, obviously either another workshop or another public hearing,
that's
or
possible.
One or more.
Right.
So we would be able to get even input at that point. So maybe it does make sense to keep it in December, allow staff to work, and then gain more input as we go along.
I think we're going to need more than one. I think we are.
Yeah,
I think it's because I think one is just going to raise the interest, mm-hmm. and it'll call for another. I think so.
And if we wait until January, there's a request to consider not having a meeting on January 6th. Then it would be the 20th. So we're getting pretty far along into January by then.
Right. Well, it sounds like this might be a special meeting.
Unless we called a special meeting.
Workshop.
Right. We could call a special meeting on the 9th of January or the 6th, and anyway, the week beginning the 13th. Yeah, okay. Any other comments? Mayor Pro Tem Bright, you had some.
I did. I had a couple of comments regarding this item. One thing I found particularly interesting that I think that I didn't really realize is that 83% of our general fund revenue comes from property taxes, sales tax, use tax, and other taxes. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. So we need to promote sales in our town. And we did this before. It was we did a push. Yeah. And I think maybe we might want to think about that again, if how we might want to promote the businesses in our town. And think about that again. Do some sort of promotion again, because that really does just come back to us. 83%, my goodness, we are so dependent upon the sales tax and so on in here in Grover Beach. Maybe we might be able to use some of those funds for another promotion, like we did before. I don't know, but.
As city manager can help us
Madam
with that
Mayor,
question.
Madam Mayor, those CDBG funds are really restricted to the items that we put in the application.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they seem to be restricted more to, at least as far as business development is concerned, to reporting as opposed to implementing.
Well, you do have, as a part of that approval, the economic development strategy. You couldn't. And what that would do, which is important, is you have to reflect on the fact that the city has not updated that economic development strategy since 2008. And that will include probably options and alternatives as how to be more supportive of local business. But it will then become a guidance document for the council. For a later program implementation, but it can't be used for anything other than updating that strategy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the council? Okay, thank you. That was a really good round of questions, and thanks for paying so much attention to that. Okay, I guess we're ready. We are ready for a motion this time. Yeah.
Oh, no, there is revisions. Yes, that's correct. There's definitely a resolution there. And it will need to be a roll call, as you may know, because it's about money.
Okay, so you want to go then?
I'll move that we adopt the resolution amending the 2014 budget.
I'll second that.
So moved by Councilmember Nichols and seconded by Councilmember Lee. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Unanimous. There are no pulled consent agenda items, so now we come to council committee reports, and Mayor Pro Tem Bright always gets to go first.
Actually, I think we have one more item.
Oh, do we have one more item? No.
Seven?
Isn't it under council manager item?
Sorry about
that. Okay. Oh, you ready, okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
I am, but I thought we had someone being difficult.
As usual.
Yeah. This end of the dais is a problem.
He used to be Bill's end.
You know, he's been so cooperative this evening.
Oh, goodness. Let's see, 6th and 7th, the 13th. So on the 13th at the Chamber of Commerce, Colonel Conlin will be speaking. And he spoke to the EVC about a month ago, and it was really an impressive speech. He has tremendous experience, and he's retired now, and he was appointed by the governor partly because of his experience. He's the guy who led the first surge into Iraq and was then one of the governors of Iraq. So this guy really knows his stuff, and he is worth listening to. He has a lot of economic development background with a lot of the projects he's worked on. So well worth listening to him. So that's next Wednesday at the Chamber of Commerce, and I believe members of the public can attend. So hopefully we'll get a good attendance there. So, okay.
Have they put out a brochure on that yet? I don't recall receiving anything. Have we received anything in the office?
Not to my knowledge. I've heard that it's scheduled. I just haven't seen a flyer to that effect.
It was a fairly, I think it's only been approved for the last couple of weeks. He didn't believe he would be available, and somebody else had become unavailable, and then he managed to work us in. So it's only been something that's been known for a week or two, and that would be why we haven't heard anything. But I'm having lunch with the president of the chamber tomorrow, so I will ask her to do something more quickly. Let's get something out.
Okay.
Good suggestion. So, Councilmember Marshall?
No meetings.
Wow. Councilmember Nichols?
No meetings.
Wow. Me neither. Nothing to report. Wow. It was the quietest week ever. So we're on now to council communications, and individual council members have the opportunity now to seek consensus for scheduling a specific item on a future agenda or authorizing staff time to provide background information and prepare a staff report for a future agenda, or to comment on council business, city operations, projects, or other items of community interest. Do we have any council communications?
I'm just wondering if this would be the appropriate time to talk about the workshop, or would that be under City Manager's report.
We could talk about it now.
Sure.
And unless you had it prepared for after the next item.
Let's do that. So the workshop you're talking about, the one for the streets?
The streets, the short and long-term
rehabilitation,
street rehab, the possible cancellation of the November 18th meeting. I'm assuming we couldn't do it on the 18th.
No, that's too soon.
Like I said, he was about to cringe, so I'll support December then as well.
I'm here for the ride. No, that's fine.
And
I was worried about attendance, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is once it comes out, people, if they don't make the first meeting, they'll make subsequent meetings.
You know, that's good timing because the Association of Realtors has asked me to speak on December 6th on that matter, so that would give us an opportunity to... Well, it wouldn't. Anyway, I'll talk about it after the meeting. But it's topical. So, and I support that too. I think we're going to have a lot of other things coming up in the future. We'll need to hear from the Citizens Committee on the Charter, and so I think there'll be a lot of other things to address. I'd like to get started on that. We committed a year ago when we ran for office to go for that, and I think it's time we go for it. So. So we are saying then December 9th? Or
the week of December 9th.
Week of December 9th. Does everybody have...
The Planning Commission is on the 10th. No? Yes. Possibly it could be either Monday the 9th or what's the Thursday Wednesday the 11th.
Or Thursday the
12th.
Well, I always go for Monday because I know Monday's
Yep. Yep. The 9th is open for me. It's really weird side question is I know the Parks and Rec Commission has may have a special meeting to review lights, the holiday lights. Is that going to be that week or going to be the following week or any idea?
Their meetings are generally the third Thursday.
Yeah, that would be the 19th, though.
Yeah.
So that might be too late. But it just not that that's going to detract from a great number of people from coming. But
you might want to also consider December 16th, which is the following Tuesday, but I wouldn't go any later than
that. Yeah, that's getting pretty late, I'd say.
That's a Monday.
People really are into Christmas then.
I'm saying the 9th.
I agree. I support the 9th. Yeah. I know you hate Mondays, Councilmember Marshall.
I hate Mondays, just like that song. No, that's fine. I'm open. I'm looking.
Are you okay with that, Councilmember Nichols?
No.
All right. So it sounds like we're on for the 9th. So we better put that in our schedules here.
We had a there was a lovely service yesterday for Sue Hartman, who was a former Parks and Rec commissioner and among other things, and a longtime community volunteer. And there was talk about maybe naming something after not only her, but other longtime community volunteers. We had this, her service, or whatever we want to call that, was at the gazebo at Ramona Park. So I'm looking at the gazebo, and there's all these panels on the gazebo. And I was thinking if there might be an opportunity to maybe dedicate or maybe name a panel or place a dedicated volunteer's name on those panels, possibly. We've lost two very dedicated volunteers just in the recent past, Arnie Dowdy and Sue Hartman.
And we still have funds from Mina Vaughn, who passed
a
few years back and donated funds to the city, who was a Parks and Rec commissioner.
Yes, and and there's quite a few panels on there, and as well as, I mean, there's actually a lot of space on those panels, and I thought that that might be a way that we could honor people who have honored our city. So I thought I'd just throw that out there and see where it goes.
So we can't discuss that tonight as to whether or not it's something we want to do, but we can decide to agendize it if
folks are... What do you
folks
say?
Well, I think the Parks and Rec Department has a naming policy, do they not? Or I know they have seen a booklet, but I don't know how formal it is.
I know.
Or if it needs to be updated, or maybe we suggest they take that on first.
My suggestion is that we do just that, perhaps if it's a parks and recreation related facility, it might be best to have Kathy at some point get the input from the Parks and Recreation Commission.
I confess that today I had a meeting with the chair, Dee Santos, and with Kathy on another matter, and I ran this by them, and they seem supportive of it. So I think we could ask that it go to the Parks and Rec Commission. Can we do that?
Yes.
And then come back to the council?
Yes. Sorry. You're right.
I'm into my numbers. Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Okay, good. We're good for that one. Anybody else have anything to share during council communications?
I had one other item. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned this before. I'm wondering if our city has ever thought of considering adopting the California Uniform Cost Accounting, blah, 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 blah.
Question.
I can't think of all of that. But I'm thinking that maybe you might want to look into that. It would make your bidding procedures so much less cumbersome. So I'm just suggesting.
Can we ask staff to come back
with a report? We'll do that.
Okay. Is there a reasonable time frame on that one?
You know,
I know you have a big list. Yeah. Two quarters.
Two quarters. I mean, yes. I'll, you know, what I will do is I will pull the agenda item that I did, if you'd like. I mean, it was done. I did it, like, I think 10 years ago, but...
I can tell you that at one point, years ago, actually, there was a resolution that was adopted by the sitting council that authorized the city to participate in the uniform contracting process. It was never implemented. I'm not certain as to why that happened. You have to, as you probably know, register with the state. And that then, you know, and I just wanted to let you know that a past council actually took action to do that.
Okay. So then you already have a resolution in place.
But we need to, I think, talk about it in more detail.
Okay.
And in line of whether you choose to go with a charter and what impact that may or may not have on revising your purchasing and bidding procedures.
Okay.
Thank you. I think it would. So we didn't really talk about a time frame, but we're not talking about deciding we're going to do it. We're just asking staff
right.
to take a look at it.
Right.
So, okay.
Thank you. All right, I'm done.
Anybody else? No, I had a couple items. One was that I have actually, since the People's Kitchen hearing, I've had a number of people approach that over and hopefully encourage them to take it over, and then I won't meet with them anymore. I did run it by the chair of the Parks and Rec Commission and also by... Director Petker, and they were both quite positive about it, had some suggestions and information for me to pass on. So fingers crossed, if there's anybody out there who's interested in participating, I know Morro Bay has just started it, and it's been very, very exciting for them, and they had a big launch event. So I think we're on a roll here. And so if there's anybody interested in that, then let the city know, and we'll pass that information along. The other thing that the mayor's...
if I may, before
yes,
you go...
Yes, sure, ahead. Yeah.
How long ago was it that we received quite a bit of information, including packets and a bunch of stuff, on the program, national program that Rio Grande participates in?
That would have been some time ago. It's not in the immediate past.
Well... Within the last 6 months, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't recall having seen it that within the last 6 months.
Well, if you happen to find it, or anyone happens to find it, it would be great to pass that on. It's a program which is really led by a citizen committee, and working with, in Rio Grande, they work with the Public Works Department and the Parks and Rec Department, just to make sure that everything's coordinating well. So
I think they have one person that pretty much heads it up.
They do.
Mr. Bloom?
Mr. Lund.
Lund, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
He spearheads that whole
program.
Yeah,
he goes out every Saturday morning and says, here's your work schedule, guys. But there's some amazing... anyway, we probably shouldn't talk about this.
I think it was the last time that Rio Grande was awarded... And it may have been at the mayor's meeting that I attended, and we were given packets, and those packets were brought back over here, and it had all of the information, had all the suggested procedures, and et cetera.
Well, that would have been over a year ago. But anyway, if we've got anything anywhere, you can... get it to me. I'll pass it on to the folks who are expressing an interest.
And see, if it sounds like if we have interest in folks to do that.
Various divisions, and they have one for city managers and council members and mayors, but they also have one for attorneys. And regarding Senate Bill 7, which is the one, just the one about prevailing wage, regarding Senate Bill 7, apparently the attorneys at the League of Cities met and unanimously agreed that... it was indefensible, and that they felt that legal action should be taken, perhaps even an injunction. And so they are working on that. The other thing that Mayor Ferrara expressed is that, you know, the real issue with the charter is not Senate Bill 7. It's not prevailing wage. The real issue with the charter is local control and our independence, and that anything else aside, that's the issue as they see it in Arroyo Grande. So he did say I could pass that information on about the League of California Cities, so I'm doing that.
Mayor, if yes. I may add for the council and for the public, I sit on the League Advocacy Committee, which is the group of attorneys that evaluates requests and litigation, etc. We did have a meeting on this issue last Thursday, I believe. And it is, as Mayor Ferrara relayed, the group and the attorneys that were looking at this for the league specifically found constitutional flaws in the bill. The recommendation that went to the board, however, is that, and the board, I don't know if they have taken action on it yet.
They haven't yet, no.
Is that it would not be tested facially, in other words, it basically would be acting on through individual cities without getting into too much detail on the rest of it.
He seemed to indicate to me that the thought was that the cities might work together on it, both charter cities and unchartered cities, perhaps.
I think where this direction is coming from is the redevelopment litigation. A lot of the challenges fell short because the courts found that they were not ripe yet. In other words, that the actual state has not taken the money away. They have not done the acts that everybody was concerned about. And I think that that's basically where that direction is flowing, is that basically testing the...
Is that incorrect?
Well, I don't know if what they indicated prior to signing, and until the board takes action on this item, we won't know where the league formal position is on this.
Although their executive committee recommended that they... approve the attorney's suggestions.
Approve what?
The attorney's suggestions on the matter. I don't have a lot more detail than that, but the executive committee is in favor of, he didn't say whether it was taking action on as a league, but that the executive committee is in favor of moving forward in the direction that the attorneys had discussed, had agreed unanimously. So I think we have to just watch this space until they have a board meeting and hear what they have to say. But it's good news that they're planning to do something. City manager's reports and comments.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Before I get into the actual agendized report, following up on your last conversation, I wanted to let you know that I'll be participating in a legislative update with the League of California Cities via a web conference on Wednesday at mid-morning, and I'm certain that they will provide an update as to what the league's position is and what their intention is as at this point to SB 7. And as soon as I'm able to determine that, I'll forward it on to the rest of the council as a matter of an update.
Okay.
Relative to the item that you have before you is a discussion regarding the potential cancellation of regular city council meetings of November 18th and January 6th. Covering January 6th first, that follows a holiday schedule. And most of the preceding week, city staff will be either out on holiday or furlough. So it means the opportunity and time available to actually produce reports will be fairly limited. So consequently, staff is recommending that first meeting of January 6th be canceled. The other is November 18th, and We had hoped to be able to come forward with the public hearing regarding the coastal development scheduled for the 18th at this point, so staff wanted to suggest that possibly we could cancel that meeting as well. That would mean that most likely that public hearing would be held on December 2nd.
Thank you. The only other thing I had on that was in the Friday letter, there was grand jury follow-up, and there was a comment that I had been written to by the grand jury on the two issues we'd previously considered for them, email accessibility and vacation and sick leave accumulation. And I wanted to be clear on that because it says staff worked with the mayor in completing the updates, and quite frankly, I did nothing but sign a letter. So I think staff get the credit. They did the work, and I didn't work with them on that. But my concern was that we had said in the letter, or I had signed the letter stating that, which I believe everybody had seen in the Friday letter, the letter stating that that we would be implementing our email, our new email procedures within 30 days. And unless we meet on the 18th, we are not going to meet that 30-day commitment. It didn't come to me until I believe the 30th of October. And so it was too late to do a whole lot about that. Although I could have said, let's make it 45 days if I'd thought forward enough. So I'm a little bit concerned about that because I don't want to be putting out letters to the grand jury saying we're doing something which we're not. And I also had understood that the council would like to discuss the our email policy perhaps a bit further. And so I'm not sure where we go with that, except that I guess we have a decision. Are we going to blow off our 30-day commitment or not? And does the council wish to discuss, I'd like to hear actually what process staff has in mind. I don't know what that process is, and perhaps discuss it further with the council.
All I can say, Madam Mayor, is that the time that I drafted the report, I had not reached the conclusion that we would need to possibly cancel the 18th. So that was the reason that I thought it could have been simply done. The 30, we could send another letter amending the one that you previously sent.
You didn't glean it and give me a report either, did you?
I did not, no. Not at 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
maybe a logistical question is, probably just me not remembering correctly, was there something else that the council needed to do in order to move forward with
I just think
issue?
That a general discussion of exactly what we're going to do and how it's going to operate is one that would be useful to have with
yes.
the council mm-hmm. all at one time.
Okay.
That'd be good. I'd appreciate
so that everyone good. Understands how it's intended to work.
So could we do that on December 2nd? Would that
yes.
fit on the agenda? Okay.
Excellent. Okay. And I'm good with that.
Any other comments, questions on that?
Do we need a motion to...
We do, actually.
Have you authorized or to send a second letter?
Do we...
Or
okay.
no, just direction. Okay.
Great.
Well, then, if there's no more comments, I'll move staff's recommendation that we cancel the regular city council meetings of Monday, November 18th and Monday, January 6th, 13 and 14, respectively.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Lee and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright, and it's a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So that's unanimous. And now we have city attorney's reports and comments. And so then city attorney, closed session.
Certainly. It's the intent of the council to meet in closed session on two items. They're both existing litigation. One is Lopez and one is RWQCB.
Okay, thank you. So we are going to recess to closed session and we shall return. It is 8:11 and we'll report back when we're finished.